What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Wednesday, June 11th, 2025. I know people around town right now, at least on social media, they're talking about the Miami Dolphins and Mike McDaniel coming out all gangster, using the F word. So he's dropping an F bomb, and now he feels like in charge. That's the topic this afternoon. And I'm okay with that because, look, the Panthers had yesterday off. They've got today off. And like I was saying on yesterday's show, while I love talking hockey, I enjoy it very much, and I will today, I may not lead with it, but I will talk it. It's so much easier to bring up another subject when your team, our team, has a 2-1 series lead. Because if Edmonton had won on Monday night and they were up 2-1 and we were sitting around for a couple of days and all day tomorrow too, thinking, gosh, they got to win that game. They got to win tomorrow night. Game 4, people would be calling it a must win. That would have been what we would have been discussing, aside from the must win part. That's what we would have had hanging over our heads all day yesterday, all day today, and all day tomorrow. That would have been the number one topic. I probably wouldn't have even brought up Mike McDaniel's name in the first 60 seconds. But now we're chilling. I mean, not that the Panthers are in control and they're going to win the Stanley Cup, like, for sure. But it's much easier to chill. It feels so much better when your team's got the 2-1 lead and game 4 is in your building. Now, to be clear, just because we're feeling good and we're chilling doesn't mean, oh, yeah, game 4, they're winning. No, I don't know that. I don't even know that there's going to be a carryover from game 3 to game 4. I thought we'd have a carryover from game 1 and 2 to game 3, which meant a very tight hockey game, and we didn't have that at all. So I don't know what to expect tomorrow night in Sunrise. I'll be there. I don't know what I'm going to see. I hope I see something very similar to what I saw on Monday night. But it's just so much cooler and better. More chill. We're all in a better mood. At least if you're a Panthers fan. We could talk about other things. And that's because they got a 2-1 lead. I'm not sitting here panicking. I'm like, okay, they got a 2-1 lead. They can make it 3-1. And worst case scenario, they go to Edmonton, the series is tied, and you know it's coming back here. That's like worst case scenario. So in my mind, when I think about this series and why I don't mind bringing up other topics right out of the gate, it's because I'm thinking worst case scenario, not that I want it. All right, Panthers go to Edmonton, it's 2-2. Even if Edmonton wins game 5, they go up 3-2. It's coming back to Sunrise, where the Panthers would hopefully win game 6, and then we get a game 7. Like, to me, that's worst case. And that's really not that bad, is it? If you think about it, as a worst case scenario, that's not bad. Maybe you never even thought about that because you're still revved up from the other night. But think about that. Worst case scenario, Edmonton is up 3-2, and game 6 is here in Florida, where you would think the Panthers would win, and then it's a game 7. Worst case scenario. There's a lot of other scenarios that are better than that. And chances are, just mathematically, right now, before they take the ice tomorrow night, chances are it won't be that scenario. It could be, but the odds, they don't favor that. And you know me, I love odds. I posted about Brad Marchand's odds to win the Conn Smythe, how it went from 30 to 1 to 4 to 1. That was right after game 3. So before game 3, he was 30 to 1 to win the Conn Smythe. After game 3, 4 to 1. And I forgot to wager on it. I saw it. I was going to do it. And that aggravated me because I would have cashed out. I would have got like 6 to 1 on my money just for placing the bet. I would have already been out of it. So I messed that one up. But what I have not been messing up are my plays that my close friends are getting on Instagram. My gosh. The renewal rate for my close friends, it's going to be 100%. Because since May, out of all my plays, since May 1st, I am hitting at 71%. Professionals will say that's not true. It can't be true. It's impossible. But it is true. And the way that I construct my plays, I don't think it's impossible. I look at it as probable with what I am doing now. I feel I always have the edge, and I feel like I get value. And by the way, the 71% rate, the 71% win rate, in June, my average win is plus 134, which is crazy by wagering standards. If you're not into wagering, just sorry, throw away the last like 45 seconds and the next like 15. But it's hard for people to hit even 50% at minus 110. I'm hitting 71% at plus 134. So if you're not a close friend yet, hit me up on Instagram. Say, hey, give me more info. How do I become a close friend? And I'll give you all the details. I am ready, and I hope you are ready for tomorrow night. I think it was so good that the entire Panthers organization yesterday, they were able to just catch their breath. A much-needed day off for the team. Right in the middle of the Stanley Cup final. Now back on the ice earlier today, practicing, getting ready for tomorrow. If you're wondering, like, wait a minute, I thought game 4 was tonight. The Stanley Cup final schedule's a little strange. 2 days off here in Florida because the NBA finals, that's on tonight. And the NBA finals and Stanley Cup final, they're not going to be on at the same time. So the NBA goes tonight, the NHL, they go tomorrow night, but the really weird part is that there's only going to be 1 day off between game 4 and game 5, and game 5 is in Edmonton. So tomorrow night on a Thursday, you got the game in Sunrise, and then Saturday, you got game 5 in Edmonton. And then after that, there's 2 days off between 5 and 6, and 2 days off between 6 and 7, of course, if there is even a 6 and 7. I am not going to go to Edmonton for Game 5. I'll be in Sunrise tomorrow night for Game 4. I was there Monday for Game 3. I'm not going to Game 5. I made that decision a couple of weeks ago. It's a long way to travel. Even if the Panthers are up 3-1, I said to myself, the chances of them winning in Edmonton, not as good, even though they could, of course. But and if they do, if they win in 5, I saw them raise the cup last year. If they didn't win the cup last year, I'd say, okay, I got to be there for any game they could win the cup. But to travel real quickly to Edmonton, which is like an oxymoron, traveling real quickly to Edmonton, you can't even do it. I'm going to stay back. I'm going to wait here in South Florida, and we'll see what happens. Maybe they win it there in 5. First, they got to win tomorrow night. Maybe we're back here for a game 6 next week. Maybe I'll be in Edmonton for a game 7. There's a lot of maybes there. I just don't know what to expect, even though we saw the Panthers blow them out on Monday night. But I've already got my flight for game 7. I had that like 2.5 weeks ago, because why not? I've got my hotel for game seven. The only thing I would have to figure out is, will I sit in the press box for game seven, or will I buy a ticket for game seven? If there is a game seven, of course. Because I want to enjoy it. I don't want to be in that whole press box atmosphere where it's like, oh, you can't cheer. You got to be all professional. If you're going to be in the building for game seven, you want to have that amazing experience. So chances are I would buy a ticket. And as stupid as this sounds, I don't know why people do this, but if the Panthers win tomorrow night, they take a 3-1 lead, it makes no sense as to why people who have their tickets listed for game seven drop the price, because it's an if necessary. So there's no reason. It's not like you're getting the money. There's no reason to drop the price, but people do that. So if the Panthers win tomorrow night, the ticket prices for game seven will be lower, which again makes zero sense whatsoever. I'll grab a ticket then or two and bring somebody. I'll pay a lot, but I got to be there. I got to have that experience. I don't mind paying for that experience. So the best value would be if the Panthers win tomorrow night to get that game seven ticket then, and hopefully even just not even have to go, but get a refund, because of course it's if necessary. It's not like some sort of gamble. Okay, I have a lot to get to. It's a Wednesday afternoon. There's a lot going on. I'm seeing all of these tweets, basketball stuff, football stuff, hockey stuff. I got a story coming out either later tonight or tomorrow that I feel is going to be very interesting. It will be a
Slater's scoop,
but I don't have all the details yet. I don't really like teasing scoops, but I think it's going to be very interesting. So look for that on my Twitter feed, because if it doesn't happen while I'm here on the airwaves, which it's not going to in the next 30 or 45 minutes, just go to my Twitter feed, because I might have it tonight or I'll have it tomorrow. It'll be very soon. It's hockey related. And again, the tweet will start with
Slater's scoop,
because I may have other tweets. But if it doesn't start with
Slater's scoop,
then it's not an exclusive. Oh, and let me tell you one more thing before I get the show started, get the hour started. I put in a wager earlier today, and I gave this to my close friends very early, but I'm going to give it to all of you right now if you want to do it. The odds are not as good right now as to when I got it, but I was looking on the app, and I was looking at the leading points scorer for the Stanley Cup Final. Right now, there's four guys that have 5 points. Connor McDavid, Evan Bouchard, Nate Schmidt, and Carter Verhaeghe. They all have 5 points. And I'm looking at the odds as to who is going to have the most points in the Stanley Cup Final. Connor McDavid is a huge favorite. Then I saw Carter Verhaeghe at 10-1. And I'm like, wait a minute. If the Panthers win tomorrow night, it's a big if, but look, they just won 6-1. If they can put on any type of performance tomorrow night like they did on Monday, chances are Carter Verhaeghe, he's going to be involved. He's been getting more involved. And then the series could end possibly in 5 games. And 10-1? It's not 10-1 anymore. I got it at 10-1. But I'm letting you guys know now. My close friends got it first, earlier today, at 10-1. Now it might be 8-1 or 9-1. I just think there's a lot of good value there. He's definitely getting more involved, and if the Panthers do take charge, if they continue that charge from Monday night, which, again, I don't know if that's going to happen, but if they do, I think at 10-1 or even 8 or 9-1, that's very good value. So just a heads up on that. Okay, like I said, I got many things to get to. I got many things in front of me, and I don't have a lot of time because there's a lot of topics to bring up, but I can't get to any of it until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
Yesterday, there was no hockey. Today, there's no hockey. We get game four tomorrow night. So, because we've got an extra day off between games, while I was eating breakfast this morning and having my coffee, writing up notes for the show, I said, you know, the Panthers have a 2-1 lead. We're chilling. The Miami Dolphins, they got a mandatory camp going on. People are talking football this afternoon. I am going to start with football. Hockey will be the lead tomorrow. Hockey will be the lead on Friday. But the Miami Dolphins, they hit the field for their mandatory workouts, their first mandatory ones this summer. And when you hear the word mandatory, when mandatory starts getting involved, that's a sign that training camp is right around the corner. And for football fans, when you get to training camp, you're like the wait, that long wait for football season. It's almost over. Look, the Dolphins haven't had a game in, what, like 5 months? I know they're running around in pads, but football fans are getting excited. Dolphins fans are getting excited. Mike McDaniel, he's trying to become, you know, Mr. Tough Guy. You may have seen the clip, him throwing out the F-bomb. Well, the audio that I want to bring up, and I don't sit here and just play audio clips because that's boring as heck, but I want to talk about what Tua said. There's no bigger issue with this Miami Dolphins team. I don't care if you talk about the secondary or the line, anything. To me, there's no bigger issue than keeping Tua healthy. And what really set me off was not the F-bomb today from Mike McDaniel. It's that he said they're aware how important it is to keep their quarterback on the field, and they're going to emphasize that. Because what they saw last year, it hurt the team big time when Tua was not available. And when I heard him talk about that, and when I heard Tua talk about it, I'm thinking to myself, how many years did it take this franchise to realize every time our quarterback is out, if he's concussed, we're not going to have him for at least four games, and we're not going to win football games. We're not going to have the chance to do well in the regular season and even get a wild card spot? Is this something that they're just now realizing? Like, this is important? Tua was saying he's a competitive guy and it's hard to just give up on plays, but he's got to realize it. He's got to practice with it. Not necessarily sliding during practice, but just stopping, pretending he's sliding. I just keep thinking to myself, now we're realizing this? And here's the other thing. How good can your football team be? How good can your offense be? How good can your quarterback be? How good can your organization be? If one of the main things is our QB, we need him to give up on plays. When you look at Josh Allen, he ain't giving up on plays. He's pushing forward. Lamar Jackson, the same. Jalen Hurts, the same. Jaden Daniels, the same. You look at these running quarterbacks, that's what you want. Now, Tua's the Dolphins quarterback. Tua, they gave him all that money. That's their guy. And now, because you made him the guy, you got to work with him. You got to do what's best to keep him on the field. They should have never made him the guy. Because again, you want to be able to tell your quarterback, you want the crowd to be cheering, go, 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 not no, no, no. But Tua is their guy. He's the franchise. And they got to protect him. But is that really going to happen? Are they just figuring this out, number one? And number two, whatever Mike McDaniel's saying and whatever Tua's saying, when it comes to the actual game and when it comes to trying to get that extra yard, is he really going to start thinking about, in that split second, what he said in the middle of June? You know, I told everybody I got to give up on plays, so I'm not going to pick up this fourth and two. I'm just going to live another down, and I'm going to play the next game. I'm going to be available. Is that really going to happen? Because you know they're competitive. He's very competitive. What do you think is really going to happen? I mean, I talk about wagers and all that, and I would never wager on anybody's health, but as a Dolphins fan, there's no way you can go into the season, even after hearing what he just said and what Mike McDaniel said, thinking, you know what? He's going to be perfect. He's going to stay healthy all 17 games. How can you think that? Like, how can you think that? How can you say that with conviction? Like, you know, there's no way. He's done it one time, and that's it. It's not like my poker tournament, like winning my poker tournament. I have done that many times, not just once, and I know I can do it again. And I hope I do it in a couple of weeks from now. The Slater Scoops Poker Tournament at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, Tuesday night, June 24th. That is my next tournament. There's going to be a minimum of $50,000 in the prize pool. Last time we did that, I think we had about $85,000 up for grabs. You do not want to miss it. We get to hang out. We get to play cards. I get to take your chips. There's a lot of money involved. It's fun. Tuesday night, June 24th, the tournament begins at 6 p.m. If you get out of work early or run into some traffic, that's okay because you've got until 9:30 p.m. to register. Tuesday night, June 24th, it's about 2 weeks away. The Slater Scoops Poker Tournament at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. It's really amazing and telling the contrast with what I've been discussing for weeks now, months now, compared to what I just brought up in the previous segment. I have been laser focused on the Florida Panthers. That organization, they are running a well-oiled machine. You could say pun intended there, but it really wasn't intended, but sort of. Everything is going right with them. They got a great culture in their room. They got a great coach. They got a great GM. They have great ownership. They have great veteran leadership. They have stars. They got great contracts. They just won a championship. They're on a cusp of another championship. They've got incredible fans. Everything is sweeping the town. They got national respect. They're a model franchise. That's the Florida Panthers. And then I just brought up the Miami Dolphins. So we go from this great organization that's doing so well, that has everything great in place, to, hey, can Tua stay healthy? What is Mike McDaniel going to change? Is Chris Greer going to make the right moves? The contrast, it's not even night and day. Like, it's beyond that. Now, ownership with the Dolphins, I don't think, is a problem. Stephen Ross, everything he's done as an owner and what he's done for the stadium, and he's willing to spend money, he may just trust the wrong people. It's so wild, though, how we're talking about all of this excellence. Then the Panthers have a day off where I'm like, okay, we could chill a little bit, bring up some football. And we go from talking about an incredible organization to a complete, well, I don't want to get thrown off the air, so I'll just say disaster. I will be talking a lot more about game four tomorrow, just hours before the Panthers and Oilers take the ice in Sunrise. What's going to happen tomorrow night? Do we have any better idea after seeing game three? Will there be momentum? It's just so hard to tell. I know Edmonton, they've had to have this on their mind now for a couple of days being here in South Florida. They've had time to relax a little bit. You can't just lock yourself in your hotel room. But they've got to be thinking when they hit that ice, like, we got to win this game. And they're almost haunted from what happened last year in Sunrise when they came back for game seven and they lost. Like, they've got to be rattled. The trauma has got to be there. And it's been sitting in their minds for a couple of days now and will all day tomorrow up until game time after 8 p.m. So when you talk about any possible advantage, besides the other things, I would say advantage Florida. Joe Sanchez from the Florida Highway Patrol is in for Lieutenant Camacho. This is going to be interesting. He joins me next. Here on this Wednesday, normally Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol is with us. He is out of town. So Trooper Joe Sanchez, who has been on with us several times as well and is with the Florida Highway Patrol for how many years now, Joe? Is it like 30-something years you've been on?
38 years, Andy.
38 years. How do you do something for 38 years?
Man, you do something that you love for as long as you can. My dad always told me, find something you enjoy doing and you'll never work a day in your life.
That's very true. That's good advice, and I'm sure it's true in your case. So, Joe, thanks for coming on, for taking Camacho's normal spot. You do a great job coming on this show when you're with us. And I don't know if you're ready for this or not, but the big topic, we see what's going on in Los Angeles. I heard some stuff maybe planned for here in South Florida over the weekend. You're with the Florida Highway Patrol. What's going to happen if protesters take the street?
Well, listen, I think the governor said it well. We're not going to be putting up with that. You know, what's happening in L.A. and other major cities throughout the United States is that you have people that some are protesting under the constitutional right of peaceful demonstration, but then you're seeing others that are taking advantage of the situation and basically committing crimes. Anyone who throws rocks at police officers, burns police vehicles, and loots, they're not protesting peacefully. Those are criminals that are taking advantage of the situation. And we're certainly not going to put up with that here in Miami. I think that we're ready. I think the governor made it very, very clear. And, you know, we have to stand with law enforcement. We're law and order. Listen, if you want to protest peacefully, you could do so. You could go and protest peacefully in signs and fight for your cause, but don't go out there and violate other people's constitutional rights.
What do you do, though, Joe? I mean, not just you personally, of course. I mean, there's a lot of troopers and everybody with the Florida Highway Patrol. But if there's a lot of people, and we've seen this before in South Florida, if a lot of people get onto I-95 or 395 or any expressway or major road, there's more people than law enforcement officers. So how do you handle that, and what are you expecting?
Well, you know, we've had that happen here before. I've been in a situation where at one time they closed off the turnpike and I had to go out there and as the PIO, I got a bullhorn and went out there and we were able to do it within a couple of hours. I mean, look, we got to be ready. I think law enforcement has to be ready. What happened in L.A. is that they weren't ready for the situation. Of course, they didn't take the actions that they needed to take. And then, of course, the president had to call in the Marines and the National Guard. I hope we don't have to do that down here. But, I mean, well, law enforcement is ready. I mean, we train for these demonstrations. We have a plan of action. But, you know, Mike Tyson said it best, you know, you're always prepared till you get punched in the face. Or you always have a plan till you get punched in the face. But, you know, I think that law enforcement down here, the sheriff's office, the city offices, and even the federal agencies, you know, we do have a plan, and I know that the citizens down here are going to protest peacefully. We're here to assist them in making sure that their constitutional rights are protected. That is one of our duties as law enforcement officers. But once again, we're not going to tolerate people that are going to go out there and commit crimes. Now, listen, you have to understand, when you block these roads, you don't have the right to do that. And you're basically inconveniencing a lot of people. People that have to get to work, people that have to take their kids to school, people that have to go see visit family members that are sick. So, you know, you're violating other people's rights when you think that you are under the authority of the Constitution to do that. So it's not going to be tolerated, and we're going to have to deal with it, and I think law enforcement will have a plan of action to deal with it. I know the Florida High Patrol is ready. And once again, I mean, the governor's made it very, very clear. Every time that he has an opportunity to speak, he says, we're not L.A. You know, we're not going to allow people to take over our streets, and we're certainly not going to allow people to take over our communities by committing crimes.
So, Joe, let's look at it from the other aspect. Let's look at it from the listener right now who is, if they're going to protest, it'll be peaceful, or they're just going on about their day. Joe, if they run into, let's say, some protesters who are blocking a street, they're in their vehicle. What do you advise for them to do? Like you said, they're trying to get to work, they're trying to get to a restaurant, or wherever they're headed. What should they do?
Well, first thing is we're going to do, we're going to try to avoid a confrontation between the drivers. So we're going to have a plan of action to maybe get people off the roadway, off the highways, and divert them in another direction. But, I mean, once again, if you feel that your life is in fear, you know, you're going to have to protect yourself. And I mean, we're there to enforce the law. We're not asking you to commit a crime, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do to get home, my friend.
Joe Sanchez with the Florida Highway Patrol with us here on the Andy Slater Show, in for Lieutenant Camacho, who is on vacation. You guys have a plan of action. Is this something, and I'm not asking you to go into details about your plan, but is this something that is fairly new based on what's happening in California, or is it some sort of plan that you guys have always had?
Andy, we train for these situations. We have units that are specialized in that, and they train for that, and they are ready. I think that we could mobilize them quickly to address the concerns or the issues that we face. Above safety is the number one issue that we want to make sure that we have here. No confrontations, no violence, and we have to enforce the laws. People need to understand that that is our job. Our job is to enforce the laws. And I believe that we are ready. We want to work with the organizations that want to protest peacefully. You know, most of these protests are organized, and they're funded by people that want to maybe create havoc and want to create problems. So, you know, through our intelligence and communicating with community leaders and some of these organizational leaders, we're able to address those issues. So I want to say, look, we should not live in fear. I think the people that watch this on TV know that, you know, some of the people that are out there to create problems. But there's a lot of people that are out there that are protesting peacefully. They may not agree with some people being deported because they may not have the proper document. But, you know, you have to take into consideration the federal government handles what is considered to be deportations. We, law enforcement, now have been trained under 287G to assist them in these federal laws. And, you know, I'm here to say, if you're here in this country, And you have committed a violent crime or a crime, and you have a deportation order, you know, we're going to turn you over to the authorities. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, I'm here to say that, you know, we need to do our job. But once again, we need to be sympathetic to some people. But once again, I think the mission of the president and the governor is to make sure that people that are here illegally, you know, they came here illegally. They're not supposed to be here.
You've been on 38 years, Joe. That's a long time, and I'm glad you enjoy it and still have many more years left and many more holiday parties and good times and hopefully a lot of peace in the streets. But over your 38 years, in the last 2 or 3 years, how much change have you seen with what the Florida Highway Patrol now does compared to, again, just 2 or 3 years ago?
Andy, we've taken additional roles. I mean, we were a state law enforcement agency focusing on traffic and crime that occurred on state roads. I think today, you know, you've seen the Florida Highway Patrol take different roles. I mean, we're basically doing everything now. We have gone to Texas to protect the border. We have done immigration details down in the Keys, people that are coming in from Cuba illegally. So the Florida Highway Patrol today is a different highway patrol. But I need to say that law enforcement has evolved throughout the years. And today, I mean, we have so much responsibilities that, you know, troopers are basically, you're seeing troopers complaining, hey, we're not getting paid enough, but we're doing more than we've ever done. And even though that we are one of the lowest paid agencies in the United States, hopefully that'll change in this legislation, that we can be compensated better. Because I can tell you that from 38 years, and I'm about to retire, and I can't wait to retire. I've done my service to this community, but I think that at the end of the day, police officers are not appreciated for what they do, and they're certainly underpaid. And I can tell you that a lot of them die within 5 years of retirement, and I would say more than 50% have either been through a divorce or have been through some type of ordeal with families because of this work-related stress.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the stuff that, you know, every law enforcement officer deals with and sees on a daily basis is nobody even can compare, you know, in the general public to what somebody in law enforcement or emergency services sees. You know, I just thought of something, Joe. I'm talking about Saturday, and I hear about planned protests. But, you know, the Panthers, it's possible that on Saturday night they would be Stanley Cup champions. They have a game in Edmonton. If they win tomorrow and they win Saturday, what are you guys going to do if Panthers fans take to I-95 and the Turnpike? Listen, and the Panthers beeline fans, and everything.
Andy, Panthers, they've won one Stanley Cup already. Hopefully they'll win this one, and we're going to celebrate, and we're going to celebrate peacefully. We know how to do things down here in South Florida. You know, we're going to go out and celebrate and enjoy that victory, which has been, you know, the Florida Panthers have brought joy to South Florida with hockey, you know. 20 years ago, you said hockey in South Florida. People said, "What's that sport? What is that?"
That's true.
Today, it's like games are sold out. I got friends of mine. Hey, man, what do you want for your birthday? I want a jersey. I want a Panther jersey. So it's great. Now we're going to celebrate, and we're going to celebrate peacefully.
Maybe some Edmonton Oilers fans will be protesting how Sergei Bobrovsky.
Well, they can protest
really
all
good.
They want.
Trooper Joe Sanchez with us here on the Andy Slater Show. In for Lieutenant Camacho. I got one more question for you, Joe.
Yes.
Because I saw this story. I want to say it happened a couple of days ago, and it's in our audience, our listening audience as well, in St. Lucie County. But somebody from Miami-Dade, you guys were chasing them, and they wound up shooting at a trooper. Is that true?
Yeah, it was in Fort Pierce. Once again, okay. we emphasize on, you know, the danger of our work. I mean, not only are today are we involved in chasing criminals that flee from us in vehicles. But this situation, yeah, happened a couple of days ago. A fleeing suspect shot at one of our troopers up in Fort Pierce, up in the Troop L. And the trooper basically located the vehicle on I-95, and it had been a bolo. And he identified the vehicle as one that had fled deputies in Hillsborough County. And then the trooper attempted to stop the vehicle, and the vehicle fled. And that's something that's happening a lot. And once again, the governor and also the executive director have authorized us now to use the pit maneuver because, you know, a lot of these people were just fleeing from us and police officers weren't chasing these bad people. And these were people that could, you know, murderers. I mean, they either had warrants for criminal violations. This guy who fled, the officer also had a warrant. And the trooper attempted to stop him, and he fled. And then the trooper executed what we call the pit maneuver, and the driver then opened fire on the trooper. Thank God he didn't hit the trooper, but, you know, the driver was able to go somewhere, and there was a standoff, I believe, and then the driver was detained and arrested and taken to the hospital. But, you know, once again, it focuses on the dangers of our profession and, you know, things that are happening nowadays. Today, we're seeing more violence than ever. I mean, Eddie, I think we spoke last time we spoke about shootings on 995.
Yeah.
38 years ago, shooting on 995 was like, what? And today, I mean, we're having shootings just about everywhere.
Yeah, now it's just like another one.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's road rage. People need to control themselves. People need to know that, you know, you're not going to get in a situation where you're going to go to jail or ruin your life over road rage and arguing with somebody. You know, we need to have patience to be able to avoid these type of conflicts that lead to violence.
Just go to a Panthers game and have fun. I mean, why do anything else?
Exactly. So once again, we want to emphasize that if, you know, people want to go out there and they want to protest, hey, do it peacefully. You know, if you see somebody who wants to instigate and throw rocks and burn vehicles, get away from those people and let law enforcement know that those are troublemakers. Because believe it or not, in this country, we do have people that want to create chaos in our country. And we need to understand that we are Americans. We need to protect the Constitution. We need to protect this country. Because the liberty that we have in this country were not given to us. They were earned by people who made the ultimate sacrifice and giving up their lives in a battlefield to make sure that we enjoy that freedom. So once again, we need to protect the constitutional rights and make sure that people have the right to protest, but do it peacefully.
Joe Sanchez with the Florida Highway Patrol. It's always good hearing your voice in for Lieutenant Camacho. Thanks for everything you do, keeping everybody safe. Stay safe out there yourself this weekend and every other day, and we'll chat again soon.
Thank you, Andy, and you know, I want to wish all the listeners health and prosperity, and I hope that we're able to get together and celebrate the Panthers' victory.
I hope so. I hope that's the big thing going on Saturday night in South Florida. Take care.
All right, my friend. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right, you got it. Joe Sanchez with the Florida Highway Patrol. What a day Camacho picked to be on vacation. My gosh. Joe's a great guy. And, like, protecting the streets and everything, that's right up Joe's alley. I mean, he's been on for 38 years. He might even have been on before Camacho was born. But thanks again for Joe coming on today, filling in for Camacho. Camacho will be back next week and hopefully Saturday, like I brought up to Trooper Joe Sanchez, Panthers fans will be taking the streets celebrating. All right, that's all the time I got for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll do it again tomorrow. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.